Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Mem Aleph at the end of the line. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, you will notice that there is a double underline marking, and that's explained on the side under our Mivneh structural note. These are Maimros Shel Rav Alexandri. Rav Alexandri will appear quoting Rav Chiya Bar Abba. As you scan down the page, you'll notice a few of his comments. The topic heading is Chole, Oimed Mecholyo, a sick person who recuperates. Number one, Nimchal Avoinoisov. That's an indication that his sins have been forgiven. And Choser Limei Alumov. He goes back to his days of youth. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Alexandri, Omar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Ein Hachoyle Oimed Mecholyoi. A person does not recuperate until he receives atonement for all of his sins. Shneemar, the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Hasaleach lechol avonechi, harayfei lechol tachlu oichi." The one who forgives you for all your sins, he is the one that heals you from all of your ailments, indicating the relationship between forgiveness of sins and recuperation. Rav Hamnuna Omar, Choser Limei Alumov. Upon recuperating, he is considered as if he goes back to his days of youth. Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, Choser Limei Alumov, Denase Ketinoi Shilotoam Tam Chet. In the spirit of Rav Alexandri's drasha, that recuperation is associated with forgiveness from sin, so too, Rav Hamnuna says that upon recuperation, he goes back to his days of childhood, when, as is known by all, that children are, being that they're minors, they are really sin-free. The Tosfos has a more, we'll say a practical, this worldly explanation. Chozul me'alumav debori. The person after recuperating is more healthy than he was prior to his ailment. So the pasuk cited for this drosha, Shinemar, Rutafash, Besoro, Minoar, Yashuv Limei Alumov. That when the person is healed from his ailment, Rashi says on this first narrow line, Shinema Rutafash, Klomar Kishe Kshas Ratov, Uposh Kemo Poru Varovu, Tagun Poshu Visagu. Minoar is Min Hacholi, Yoshuv Kemoshebi Mealomov. That when he is when his flesh, so to speak, becomes fresh again, with the departure of his ailment, he returns to the days of his youth. The pasuk says in Tehillim Mem Aleph. Now this represents the pasuk that we had darshened during our last shiur. We made reference to this particular paragraph of the chapter of Tehillim, which dealt with the support of the ailing. So it says in Tehillim Elav also, Kol Mishkovoi Hofachto Becholyoi. There's a Rashi, Kol Mishkovoi Hofachto Bechol, Kol Seder Hatzos Limudo. All of his learning, Hamasudar Lo, that is set in order in one's mind, Nefach Lo b'chol yom mishako, he forgets it. And that's what the Gemara will now say. So, kol mishkovo hafachta b'chol yom, omar Rav Yosef loimar de mishakeach limudo, that in a state of infirmity, there is a likelihood or a possibility of a person forgetting his Torah learning. And a story that illustrates this, you have two stories like this, you have that are featured with the triangle marking on the side under the Mivneh heading. You can see we've written, Maisim shel Rabbonim sheshachachu Talmuda machmas choli, v'huchsar lehem derech Talmidom. And it was recounted for them through their students. So the Gemara. Now, this is, as we noted, this is Rav Yosef, what should I say, a story with Rav Yosef in conjunction with that very teaching of Rav Yosef himself. Rav Yosef cholash, Rav Yosef took ill, li'akulei limudei, and he forgot his Torah learning. And this, by the way, is pointed out throughout the Shas. You find in a number of Gemaras, Rav Yosef wondering could he have ever said what he said, and Abaye rapidly he points out, yes, you are the one that taught us thusly and thusly. So Rav Yosef took ill and forgot his learning. Ahadre Abaye Kamei, and Abaye reviewed it, restored it to him. Hainu debchol duchto amrinon, and here the Gemara quotes what we just mentioned. It is this that you find in many places. The debchol duch means every place. You'll see it stated. Omer Rav Yosef lo shamioli hodash maitza. Rav Yosef claims, I didn't hear this and this teaching. Omer le Abaye, and Abaye reacts. Adam risoni halon. How can you say that you never heard it, so to speak, when you taught it to us? Umeha mas nisam risoni halon. And based on this and this different Tanaic source, you said whatever you said. So that interchange between Abaye and Rav Yosef you see in numerous places, and all of that is a function of Rav Yosef having become ill and forgotten what he had taught in the past. Ki have a gomer Rebbe tlos esrei api hilchasa, when Rebbe was learning a topic, and he would have 13 different ways of explaining a particular issue. Agmeri l'Rebchia shiva minhon, he taught Rebchia 7 of them. So he shared 7 of the 13 different ways of analyzing a particular topic. L'sof cholash Rebbe, and Rebbe took ill. We made reference to this in our previous year, Rebbe's ailment, that's featured in the end of Maseches Ksubas. So Rebbe eventually took ill. Ahader Rebchia kamei hano shiva api de agmere. As we mentioned before, that in illness, people could forget their Torah learning. And that's what happened. And as a result, Rebchia, who had learned those 7 different approaches from Rebbe, this was now Rebbe's opportunity to restore those to his teacher. Shisa Azdu, but 6 are lost. Azdu means are gone. However, not exactly. As far as Rebbe at this point, that's right. He didn't know those 6, so they're like lost. However, Havehu Katsro, Haveshmirle Lurebi, Kedave Goris Lehu. This is something that's very interesting. It's a little bit obscure, and there's some mystique concerning this, but we'll translate the Gemara that there was a katsra is a washman, a person involved that deals with washing of clothing, and he used to be present when Rebbe was learning. So he overheard Rebbe's Torah learning. And those additional 6 ways of understanding the various topics that Rebbe had analyzed were not totally lost. It's true, Rebbe Chia did not receive them from Rebbe, but there was this, I won't say eavesdropping, but there was this bystander, Katsro, that happened to hear it. Also Rebbe Chia v'gomer yason kami Katsro. Rebchia went and learned them from the Katsra. the also ahad yason kamei Rebbe, and then after Reb Chiya absorbed those six additional ways of analyzing topics, he then went and taught them to Rebbe. Kadav chozi le Rebbe lo katzro, when Rebbe would meet that washman, Omar le Rebbe, Rebbe would declare, Ata sisa osi v'eschia, you made me and Chiya. In other words, by your having taught Reb Chiya and his teaching me, you're responsible for our Torah well-being. And Rashi quotes the Maimer Chazal, the Cholam Alamin is ben Chaveru Torah Malo Avokosav Kilu Aso. He who teaches the son of his friend Torah, it's as if you made him. Shneimar v'yasanefesh asher osu b'choron, regarding Avram and Sarah who taught the presence of Hashem to the masses. It's as if they made those people, so that the term ben chaver, the son of your friend, you see, has quite an expansive meaning. That here you have this katsra who you would assume is just a commoner, and Rebbe is crediting him, the katsra, as having made Rebbe the greatest of the Jewish people, certainly of his generation. Ika diamri, another version of what Rebbe said, Hochi Karmelei, thusly he said to the Katsra, Ata Sisa Eschia, you made Chiya, V'Chiya Asa Osi, and Chiya, being that he was the one that taught me, so Chiya made me. It should be pointed out that Rebbe in Maseches Bava Metzia is portrayed as a man of extreme humility, and I think that comes through over here as well. Omar Rebbe Alexandria, Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba, greater is the miracle that is wrought for the infirmed more than the miracle that was enjoyed by these great figures. Hanani Mishal Zaya, they were, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the scriptural story of their being thrown into a furnace at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and escaping unscathed from that situation. So you see that we have a little diamond. It highlights the contrast between their incident and the success of the recuperated sick man. The Gemara explains Shelchanim Shelzaya. What they had experienced was Eish Shelhedyon. It was a fire lit by commoners. It was a furnace that people lit. V'akol yichoyim l'chaboysa. A human started fire is something that anyone is also able to extinguish. The zoo Shelchoyla, the fire or the fever, the heat of a sick individual, Shel Shomayim he, that comes up from on high. It comes from heaven. Umi yochol lachaboisa, who can extinguish a fire that comes from heaven? So that when a sick man recuperates from his feverish state, it's certainly a major miracle. It's the freedom of a fire that no one really is capable of extinguishing. The Omer of Alexandria Mechia Bar Abba, the Amri Lom Rabbi Shum Levi, another version has Rabbi Shum Levi saying, Kevan Shigia Kitza Shalodam Hakol Moishlin Bo. When a person's Kitza means a person's end draws near, so everyone, everything has control over him. When we say control over him, it means has the capability of killing him. Even a fly, even a mosquito. Shinemar. And you have a pasuk with Kayin being featured, and he says, he proclaims, V'hoya kol motzi yargeni, he expressed his fear after being cast out of the Gan Eden. He said, anyone who finds me will kill me. And when he says kol motzi, means anyone, anything that finds me will have the capacity of killing me. Rav Omar min hodein kra, from the following pasuk, this idea is communicated. The pasuk says, "L'mishpotecha omdu hayom ki hakol avodecha," and Rashi explains Once a person is judged from on high, from the heavenly court, then everyone, everything becomes as if they're servants of God to seek retribution from this individual. And you can see that in the words of the Gemara, L'mishpatech, upon being judged by Hashem, so Hakol Avadech, everyone is like his servant to carry out the will of Hashem to punish this individual. Rabo Bar Shila Amrule Shochiv Gavro Gavoa. Rabo was informed that a tall man died. What were the circumstances? Have a Rochiv Girduna Zutra. He was riding on a lowly mule, a short mule. Mota Titura. They reached a bridge, and Istavit, the mule was overcome with a sense of fright, and Shadyei the Koshachiv, and he cast off this tall man, and the guy died. The Meforshim point out that since this man was very tall, his drop to the ground was very little. It was a very short mule, so his feet were probably almost touching the ground anyway, so that his fall was very minor, and yet he died from it. Kori al nafshei. So Rabbo referred to this guy, the pasuk l'mishpotecha omdu hayom, that once a person is judged to be guilty, and the heaven seeks his demise, it can come through even the most minor insignificant seeming circumstance. And we know very, very unfortunately there are people that go in for very, very minor medical procedures, and all of a sudden something comes up, and the person never leaves. There are tragic stories of people even going in for dental work and dying on the dentist chair. So when a person's end is near, even the most minor thing could cause his demise. And another story to illustrate that, Shmuel Chazi Elohu Akrava. Shmuel noticed a scorpion, Yesiva al Akroksa, that was sitting on the back of a kroksa. If you look at the word kroksa, you think about krok, you can think about a frog. So, and that's what a kroksa is, a frog. There was a scorpion that jumped on the back of a frog, the Avro Nara, and the frog with the scorpion on its back swam across a river, Tarka Gavro Umayas. And the scorpion bit some man, and it stung somebody, and he died. Kori Ole. And referring to this, Shmuel said, "L'mishpatecha omdu hayom," that after the Almighty judges his judgment and a person is found guilty, as we said before, even the most minor thing or the most unanticipated thing could cause someone to die. The Rashi says, Akroksa Svardea, the Akrov, Eni Yochalush Benahar, a scorpion doesn't swim across rivers. Venosa Svardea Lov, Lavir Benahar, Linshachasish, and the frog's role was to ferry the scorpion across in order that the scorpion can get to so and so and bite him and sting him. Before continuing the more, we glance at the side, we have an Osei topic heading. Cholim she'ein levakrum. We'll see different types of ailments that one should not visit them. Visit the people suffering from them. Omar Shmuel ein levakrum es achela el alami shechotzos sechama. One doesn't visit the sick unless his fever has departed from him. Let me correct that. El alami shechotzos sechama. The Meforshim here say Shechot Soso has to be, as you can see in the Ran commentary, five lines from the bottom. Shalav shosoy chamkaram hamizdayin ayidei kli zayin shalav nikro chilutz. He's been overcome with, or literally they're enveloped him, cham of fever. So that Shmuel's saying, feverish individuals, those are the type of people that you should visit. Lafuke mai, to the exclusion of whom should you not visit? Odisanya, Rabbi Yossi Proto, Imam Mishum Rabbi Lezer, Ein Mevakrin, Loz Choli Me'ayim, Lo Choli Ayin, Volo Choli, Volo Mechushi Roish. One should not visit people that are suffering from digestive ailments, nor from eye ailments, nor from people suffering from mechushirash, head, because they headaches. Bishlam ocholim ayim, I understand not to visit people suffering from digestive problems. Mishum kisufa, because that could lead to embarrassment. A person who has lost control of his digestive abilities, he can, things could start, the waste can start coming out of his body, and if done so in the presence of others, that could be a source of great embarrassment. What's the problem with visiting people suffering from eye or head ailments? So the more answers, Mishum the Rabbi Yehuda, based on Rabbi Yehuda's teaching, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Dibura, speech, Kashia Le'ena, poses difficulty to Eina, to people suffering from eye ailments. And the next two words is a question, the next word is a question of how to read the Gemara by way of Girsa, but our Gemara text says, Umali Lishta, that speech is beneficial for people that are suffering from feverishness. So that Chazal tell us, they reveal to us that when a person visits the sick, so inevitably there's going to be some speech, some communication. And you should realize that sometimes it's actually deleterious. And that is true in the case of a person who is suffering from an eye ailment. And the Rosh adds, likewise, a headache. People in those positions want quiet. So don't visit them. And according to our Gemara text, which is not what the Gra has, but according to our Gemara text, the speech is actually beneficial for people that are suffering from a fever, and that would be in accordance with what Shmuel taught just a few lines up. Omar Rava, Hai Ishta, he says regarding Ishta is feverishness from the word Ish, which is a fire. Ilav de parvanka de malcha de moisa. If not for the fact that feverishness is the harbinger of the angel of death. So if not for that, Mali, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Kechizra ledikli chad letal sin yoimin. Vechiti reiki legufa. Fever has health benefits to it. And he compares it to thorns, like a thorn bushes that surround a date palm. With thorns surrounding a date palm, so the fruits that are on the date palm won't be affected. It will serve as a type of not only a fence, but a deterrent to getting to those fruits. So it's protective. And it's if the fever comes once every 30 days, and it's like a tereiki. Tereiki is some type of a medicinal potion. It's like that for the body. So that the fever has these different aspects to it of it being quite positive, and if not for the fact that it was the harbinger of the Malach HaMavis, it would be a good thing to have fever like once every 30 days. Has a there's therapeutic value in that. Omar Rabo Bar Yonis and Omar Vichiel. Arson Yofa Lechela Lerefuso. Arson is good for a person's recuperation. My arson, what is that? Omar Yonis and Chushla Desiri Atikta Deresh Napia. Chushla is described as Sa'urin Yishonim, clue from old, aged peeled barley. So it's, we're dealing here with aged peeled barley. That's the Reish Nafya that sticks at the edges of a sifter. Omar Abaye, Bayan Bishula Ka'in Bisra Datura. These peeled barleys require extensive cooking, like is the case of when cooking ox meat. Rav Yosef Omar, Smidi Desairi Atikta, the Reish Nafya. Smidi is the flour, the ground flour made from these aged peeled barleys that stick to the head of a sifter. This would be then what Rav Yosef's explanation of Arson is. Omar Abaye. Bishla Bayon Bishula Kibisra Datura. And here too you have Abaye saying that it requires cooking like the cooking of ox meat, which means extensive cooking. Omar Rav Yochanan. Now the next word you'll see in the Gemara, it says actually one should not maskir shmo, one shouldn't even mention it. So we have the word, we'll call it the Bayes word. It's a name of an ailment, ein mevakrin. One who suffers from that ailment is not to be visited. The ein maskirin shmo, and you don't even mention its name. The Meforshim have different approaches to this. The Ran says it's not a pleasant word. It's not loshen nikia. The Tosfos says ein maskir shmo lefisha misbayish achilu kishemaskir. If you're in the presence of the person suffering from it, it's a source of embarrassment to him. I can tell you that there are other approaches to this as well, but that will suffice for now. Now, my time. Well, why is this? We just learned in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you don't visit him and you don't even mention its name. Why? Amar Belozet Meshu Kemayon Hanovea. Rashi says Meshu Kemayon Hanovea Shekayfes Mizeh Lazeh. It's highly contagious. V'yeshbo sakona lazkiro. Now, I don't know what that means. I can translate it. It says it's dangerous even to mention it. One thing, though, is for sure, or is likely from the Rashi, that his explanation fits in for why ein mevakrin. You don't visit someone suffering from it because it is highly contagious. The Gemara continues. We didn't translate. It's like a mayan ravea means that this ailment is like a flowing spring, and that would be a rather vivid a source of vivid imagery of what the problem of this particular ailment is. As we said, a person loses control of his digestive abilities, so that it could involve waste coming forth from the lower parts of a person's body, or it could also be a lack of control in terms of throwing up. The Omar Rabbelozer Loma Nikro Shmo, that, why is it called that? Shehu Kemayon Hanovea. It is like a live spring. The Gemara continues in Marpeu Refuas Hanefesh Avalo Refuas Momon. This goes back to the Mishnah when you're dealing with a Mudur Hano. So one cannot provide, A cannot provide benefit to B through his vow, and yet there's an allowance for providing refuas hanefesh. Refuah has to do with healing of nefesh, but not refuas mamon. And here the Gemara, through a couple of stages, tries to decipher what are these terms. On the side of the Gemara, we have the Nosei Mivne heading. The double underline appears. These are Shlavim, Levar, Ma'pirush, HaMishnah, Marapeo, Isur, Fuas, HaNefesh, Avaloi, Refuas, Mamon. These are stages to explain these terms. So the Gemara continues, Hefi Katoni, how are we to understand the teaching of the Mishnah? Ilei Modu Refuas, Nefesh, equals Bechinom. Refuas, Mamon, Bishar. That Refuas, HaNefesh means providing services for free. So that that could be done, but not refuas mama, not for schar. And Tosfos points out that we're talking about a case where the property of the chaylev, the property of the sick man, is prohibited on the doctor. So that the we have mudur hano means that the doctor is not allowed to benefit from the sick man. So if the doctor goes in and provides services for free, okay, so he's not benefiting from the sick man. But if he's going to get a fee or payment from the sick man, that's not allowed. Well, if that's what the pshat in the Mishnah is, if that's how to explain the words, so then listening hachi, the Mishnah should have stated thusly, Mrapeu bichinam avalo bishar. He can heal him for nothing, but not for pay. Why? What are the expressions of refuas hanefesh mean and refuas mamon? If, as we said, if it means bechinam mebischar, use those words. Why these unusual words? Elo, so rather it means something else. Refuas nefesh gufo. What is mutter? So even though you have a vow where the sick man and here we have to explain the let's say the direction of the vow. In a different direction, and all of this information we took from the Tosfos. Here we have to say that we're describing the vow as the sick man not being allowed to benefit from the doctor. Well, if that's the case, the Mishnah teaches us that the sick man is entitled, is allowed to receive medical care for himself, for his own body. That's gufo. But no medical care for his animals. And the reason for that distinction is that even though a vow was made, as we've learned in previous Gemaras, a person does not make a vow that would entail some type of self-infliction. So that if it's a matter of his own recuperation that's at stake, he wouldn't, when making the initial vow, he wouldn't have included that as a restriction. He wouldn't restrict himself from recuperating. Hence, the doctor, though not allowed to provide benefit to the patient, if it's a matter of his own health, he can do it. But if it's a function of practice of veterinary medicine on this man's part, so he cannot heal the animal's behemoth. That would be considered deriving pleasure that the vow prohibited. Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvi Omar Rav Aval Oimer Lo, even though he's not allowed to heal the man's animals, nevertheless this doctor could tell him Aval Oimer Lo Sam Ploni Yofe Lo Sam Ploni Ra Lo. Thus and thus medicine is good for your animal, and thus medicine is not good for the animal. There you're dealing with speech, and that in speech. Speech is not the subject of what the vow was preventing. The Mishnah. Before we continue with the text, we glance at the side, and we have a topic heading, Madir Umudur Biyachad. You have a person who initiated a vow, and the subject of the vow are together. In what circumstances? Number one, Rechitza Bambati. They're bathing together in a pool. Number two, Shina Bamita, they are sleeping together in the same bed. Number three, Achila, they're eating together. Besuda, at a meal, or Me'oisakara, from the same bowl. So the Mishnah says, V'roichet simo, b'mbati gedola v'lo b'ktana. you have the madir and the mudar, the one who initiated the vow and the one who was subject to the vow. They can bathe together in a large pool, but not in a small pool, because when two people jump into a small bath, a small pool, the water level will rise, and the person who was not allowed to benefit will be receiving benefit by the increased depth of water covering more of his body, so that the person who the mudar will be receiving hanoah from the presence of someone he's not allowed to benefit from. In a large pool, though, there's no perceived increased water depth. V'yosheni mo b'mita, they can be in the same bed. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Omer b'mois achamo avolo b'mois hakshom neishu maneu. According to the Meforshim, Rabbi Yehuda is here to explain the Tanakama, so that the Tanakama made reference to sleeping in the same bed. That's only in the summer months when it's hot, but not when it's cold, because when it's cold, the presence of another person in the same bed helps to increase the heat level, and that would be a violation of the vow, where one is prevented from benefiting from the other guy, and the other guy's presence in the same bed in the winter months is going to increase the heat and hence comfort level. Umesavimo al hamita, they are however allowed to recline on the same bed, and the reclining on the bed is different than the case of sleeping in a bed. Reclining bed is the way they used to eat, and we're not going to make a gezeira, we're not imposing any restriction with regard to reclining on the mita for eating purposes. And v'yoichlimo al hashulchan avolo min hatamchui, they can eat together at the same table, the madir and the mudar, and we're not afraid that the mudar is going to help himself to some of the food of the madir, and hence derive benefit. So that we're not afraid of that, of one, say, reaching over to get some of the portion of the other, or the other giving him some of his portion. But they cannot eat from a tamchui. A tamchui is what we could say, maybe in simplistic terms, a serving bowl or a communal bowl where two people, two or more people, eat from the same large bowl. So that, when you have a madir and a mudar, they're not allowed to eat together. The Rashi says, "Avolo mina tamchui biyachad mitnei shemarbe balabayas bishvilo." The host might add more food because of his presence. So, and then as a result of the increased food, so the madir is the one who, let's say, imposed on himself a vow not to benefit from the other guy, is going to benefit from the other guy because the other guy is there. The balabayas, the host, is adding food. There's another angle to this that you can see in the Ran, three lines from the very bottom of the Ran commentary, Avolomina Tamchui. Sheikh Bikor Achas, the two of them are eating it from one bowl. V'choy shemo yimshich yodom lechol l'chvoid chavero, and we're afraid that one might withdraw from eating out of honor to his friend. V'nimso mehaneu, and by one withdrawing, he's going to be leaving more food for the other. That is, in effect, benefiting him when he's not allowed to. The Mishnah goes on, Avol oichel hu imoy min hatamchui hachozer. The Gemara will explain this. What do you mean? What is hatamchui hachozer? The Gemara will say, we're describing here a very large communal bowl where there is so much food that there's going to be leftover food that is brought back to, chozer is to be restored to, brought back to the host. So that you don't have a situation here of one benefiting the other from causing, as a result of causing extra food. There is so much food there to begin with. And here we have a a braisa that makes an allusion to many of the things we saw in the Mishnah. Tanya, lo yirchatz imoy ba'abati, v'lo yoshen imo b'mita, bein gedola bein ketana, divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is highly restrictive in his rulings when you're dealing with a madir and a mudar. They cannot be together in a pool nor in a bed, even if they are large ones, and certainly not to be together in small ones. In the small pool, we already explained, you're going to cause a rise in the water level, thereby benefiting the other person. And likewise in a small bed, so there's going to be increased body heat. And Rebbe Meir, though, says that even in large ones, large beds and large pools, I don't want them to be together, even though on an immediate level there is no benefit received by the other one because of the large dimensions here. Nevertheless, I make a gzera. And the Ran goes so far as to say, even in the summer months, he'll make a gzera of otu in anticipation of the winter months. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda, though, is not worrisome, is not anticipatory of violations, and hence he says as follows: Gedola b'moisachamo agshamim. The Madir and the Mudir can be together in a large one. Since it's large, they can be together even in the winter months. Uketano, the small one where there is increased level of water or increased heat in the bed, I will allow them be moisachamo mutter in the summer months, in the small bed where they're not interested in heat. It's hot anyway. So I'll allow the madir and the mudir to be together. And I don't make a gzera in regarding the small bed in the summer because of the winter. So in the summer it's mutter. In the winter, the small bed will be also because there you have direct hanov, increased heat. Rochets imoy ba'abati gedola. They are allowed to bathe together in a large pool. Umazia imoy biktano. Mazia is a schwitz. It's a steam room. So if it's a small a steam room, since you're not dealing with increased water levels, they went in there merely for the sweat, the sweat room. The fact that the two people go into the small sweat room, there isn't any real increase in heat that results. Avol mesa vimo al hamita, even though they can't sleep together in the mita, they nevertheless are allowed to recline on the bed for eating purposes. Veochlimo al hashulchan, they can eat together provided they're eating off of a table. Separate portions being eaten from the table, avolo minat tamchoi, but not from a common bowl. Avol oichel hu min hatamchoi hachozer. Rabbi Yossi b'Chanino min hatamchoi hachozer lebalabais. Rabbi Yossi explains what the source says. Also, we saw this the term chozer in the Mishnah. They are allowed to eat together, even if it's from the same bowl, but it's that kind of bowl that contains a large amount of food that there is inevitably going to be left over that's returned to the host. And hence, the fact that one might withdraw from eating isn't going to be the reason that there's extra food for the other party. There's extra food anyway because of it being loaded with such a large amount initially. The Mishnah. We have a topic heading, the Nosei, Madir Umudor Ba'idur Adama. A Madir and Mudor together in a field while tilling furrows. Tilling furrows involves digging into the soil and softening up the earth, readying it possibly for plowing purposes. So the Mishnah says, Lo yochal imoi min ho'evus. This we didn't mention in our introductory remarks, but they should not eat together the madir and the mudar from an evus min ho'evus shelifnei ha'poyalim. To appreciate this, we look in the Ran commentary. The Ran, you'll see, appears right under the Gemara text. Lo yochal imoi min ho'evus shel poyalim kora gedoyla. It's a large bowl, shenos lifnei ha'poyalim, that is presented to workers. Shemitol shem ameilim oichlim harbe. Since they're workers, they're physical workers, they eat more. The oivsin oison kebehemos, and they're stuffed with food, like you feed animals, a lot of food. And that's why the bowl gains this word evus, which technically speaking means stuffing animals. And if one of the parties eats less, and don't forget we have got the madir and the mudar over here, if one eats less, nimsa mahane es chavero, he then is creating benefit for the other fellow. And since when it comes to bowls that workers eat from, you don't have it returned to the host with leftover. So lo tona sharyusa be'evus hachozer. The example that we had before is not featured here in this context. It's not customary to have leftover food that's brought back to the owner. Therefore, that example wasn't cited here. The Mishnah continues. They shouldn't work together on the same furrow. An umon is a row in which vines in a vineyard grow. And the vineyard needs tilling, which involves digging into the ground, which is called softening the ground, which is beneficial to the plants. So Rabbi Meir says they shouldn't be together on the same row of vines under any circumstances. This, Rabbi Meir, is in contrast with the Chachamim Omrim, Oise v'hu barochok mimenu. They are allowed to work on the same furrow, provided they are at a significant distance from one another. The Gemara now elaborates on this. Bekorov lo pligi de osir, and there's a girsa addition, de komarpi lo la'aro kamei. If you have the two of them, the madir and the muda, working in proximity of one another, tilling the ground, so when Mr. A digs the ground up where he is, it actually creates a loosening of the ground, a softening of the ground, which makes the work for Mr. B, where he is located, all that more easy. So when they're in close proximity to one another, they wouldn't be allowed to be working, digging and tilling the ground, the Madir and the Mudar. Ki pligi, the machloikis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim arises under the following circumstances, barochik, where they're not near one another, though they're working in the same furrow. Rabbi Meir sover gazrin and rochok mishum korov. Rabbi Meir says, I don't want to take any chances. Even though these guys are working at a distance from one another, they might come to work in close proximity of one another, and that would cause benefit from one to the other when one is prohibited from benefiting. Rabbona savri lo gazrin, and the Rabbona say, no, we don't impose any gezeira. We're not afraid if we allow them to work at a distance that they will come to working close to one another. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.